Blog Talk Radio.
To this version of Masonic Effect on this, the 272nd day of the year 2018. It only leaves us with 93 days left to celebrate this this point in time. They're moments in time, and it's a pleasure to share them with you. That means we're only 86 days away for those of you like me, like me. Celebrate Saturnalia or Christmas. It's coming to us 86 days, like it does every year. They are really, however we share the faith and the celebrations, it is a coming together, and we can do that mutually. We can acknowledge, however the differences in how we see the Creator. It's a good time. It's always a good time of celebration, and we go through periods over our different cultures of severity and austerity, and then some are more liberal, some are punitive, some are forgiving, at different points in time. It speaks well to our continued evolution. And now as the larger existential questions are posed to the children in the classroom, the generations that are coming after us will be faced with the same kind of very large issues in front of them. Large choices that you and I were faced with, and that children and have been faced with forever. How are we going to be preparing for the future and living with people that may not always see the need? So preparing our children for the past is in some ways a credit. The question is how to do it. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at today in the program, a good commentary. I first came to the door alone, and I hope you certainly enjoy it and find it entertaining. The poet today, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, very prolific. I tend to stay away from the poetry that echoes jingoism or an ethnocentrism. I'm not particularly fond of that, although there is some noteworthy material out there, but not so suitable for my ears, and so I'm going to filter that out for us. It's an absolute pleasure to have so many listeners tuning in, and thank you very much, and particularly to listeners who are recommending us to new inquiring minds. It's an acknowledgement that we are serving a need out there somehow. So for all of you who are much younger than me, and that would presume everybody in this audience, just a little note to tell you, I respect that not all of you are sitting in the same kind of privilege that I am here. And I can assure you this is simply a matter of the difference of birth, where I was born and my ancestors. I'm sitting in, it's a dreary day right now. And the seasons here vary quite a bit. We look forward to them. We anticipate the change. Although some grumble a little bit, but we look forward to it. And it's always pleasing to the eye. There's aspects about the changing weather that is pleasing to the eye, except if you've ever had the pleasure of the experience of Los Angeles, California. I'm still not quite sure how to sort that out. Just if there is a comfortable climate where in the morning you put on a sweater, in the afternoon you're in shorts, that would be it. A demonstration of the finest of industrialism, what philanthropy does at its peak, shrouded in disenfranchised and poverty. Always that. The larger question, the harder question. It's easier to make wealth than it is to distribute it, as we're finding now. So today, like the herd of meerkats that we seem to be, we put our heads up, look around and see one another in different places, different continents around the world, acknowledging that we can't change everything the way we would like, and that's not certainly something that we would ever attempt to do, but we can continue to offer a sense of fairness and equality to everybody in our actions and in our words. It's the blessing of Freemasonry that it encourages contemplation and thoughtfulness, about the same thing. Here, a little bit to help settle our minds in today, you audacious group, you. We have some beautiful music here. This is from Clifford Brown. It's done a long, long time ago. I don't know how many of you might be familiar with him, but you've heard this music over the years. It's embraceably new. Hope you like it. Thank you. Get comfortable, take a deep breath. If you want to, if you, you do know, if you are at all curious about improving your mood or your outlook, to put yourself at ease, there is a way to do it that I'll share with you here. And it's something that you can keep with you every day of your life. It's a smile. For whatever reason, it improves mood. There are reasons. Just like, you know, we know more about we have sciences that have developed over hundreds of years. It might be wise for us to use them just as the ancients did. We are the ancients. The ancients were us. They were very similar in makeup, the range of personalities and character. Oh, we wore different clothes back then. We had a different reflection on the order of our community, on worship, on charity, a different set of rules about morality and ethics in the marketplace. Today we have a level of sophistication that's based solidly on sound education systems and the progress of sciences. It is not a panacea. Every single one of us has agency. How we use the science and what we use about it sometimes is decided by people that have responsibilities for the broader population. So we know about immunization, for example, and how that can make us all a bit safer. But we have to be thoughtful about it. We have to examine this not through the eyes of superstition or faith. We have to know in our heart what the facts are, know in our mind the facts. So let me pull back and unpack the commentary today. I first came to the door alone. Freemasonry occupies a unique place in the spectrum of human experience. Many experience this as entering a new place with high expectations and obligations, high different. Each is left to make choices. There is so much information, it is easier to recognize as a large, beautiful library, at least in my mind. In spite of ourselves, we hope each new apprentice will be curious enough to select an area of study. Apprentices, especially those struggling with confidence, may find this a daunting aspect. Much easier to disguise our reluctance by being reluctant and pulling away and pulled away by other responsibilities. Masonry only asks us to find a balance between our many responsibilities in life, including those of the craft. It is easier for some to think linearly, with one duty important and the others subordinate to it. Freemasonry frames our thinking in a bold, universal purpose to replace ignorance with the lightness of understanding. How does it compare? Well, it is unenforceable. In your heart, you know if you have been diligent in your researches. It is not for me to know or judge your effort. Masonry does not escape fiduciary responsibilities. We organize ourselves as such. Our constitutions have endured. The items do not fail us, but they are vulnerable to interpretation. Ritual is defining, and it too is sensitive to the temperament and effort of participants. And we answer for missteps about perspective on that participation. Some believe they are on the stage portraying a role in stories of the human condition. Others find themselves in the audience watching a morality play, being impacted by the theater workshop. Not everyone does well on stage under the pressure of performance. There are many other useful ways to be part of a portrayal. But continuity is important to us, not to block us, but to encourage us to strive, not to settle for second best or good enough. Imagine listening to a discordant orchestra. Do we reach for a book or not? Oh, a thought attributed to Michelangelo is that what many attribute to a great talent has more to do with effort and hard work. And if only people knew how much time and effort I had to put into my work, they would understand me better. Oh, I guess what I'm hinting at here is that there is that beauty inside each and every one of you and me, if we choose to find it, if we choose to look for it, if we ask the question. Offering, that's the acceptance of, you know, that's the exchange. We accepted the terms, accepted Freemasonry. Never will those ancient landmarks be changed. Nah, never. How we approach them changes. The paths toward those landmarks change. Their effect and understanding on our impressionable minds changes. But those are our touchstones. Those are our signposts through time. Here. That part of us is not supposed to exist, is it, brethren? Isn't it, listeners? It's not supposed to exist. That sense of beauty is not supposed to exist. That sense of giving is not supposed to exist, but it does. The downtrodden expressing a dignity is not supposed to exist, but it does. Our mathematics, the purity of mathematics, the truth of mathematics, created in the minds of mankind, of humanity, is valid to the very edges of space, throughout the universe, so far. How do we explain that? It's almost as if we've constructed this understanding of the universe, and it's not to say then that that's the only one, but it's the only one we know. From that little boy that grew up at the bottom of the social ladder in New Orleans and maintained a sense of love and laughter, who wore the smile, the same smile I'm talking to you about. Improve your life. You want to do better? You want to have that Masonic effect on the people around you? Smile. The malcontents, the dystopics around will wonder what in the world you're smiling about. We shouldn't be smiling in all this chaos. Everybody has their own version of chaos. Everybody has their own version of embarrassment and disgrace. Everybody. Nobody escapes. If you're thinking the wealthy escape these things, they have to pretend, eh? But this fellow was the real thing. He's doing Moon River, Louis Armstrong.
and crossing you in style someday.
Symbol, symbol of all that's got a gift to us. Mm-hmm. Beautiful music that lingers on and can bring a smile to our hearts. Even during the times of difficulty and challenge. I'm not here to proselytize. This is about that banquet. That is not something we want to serve every single day. The sonic effects. No. And then you might want to come in and sample all of the dishes before you, but some of them are very overpowering and rich. Some are an acquired taste. Some are just plain fun to the eye, pleasant to the eye. And sometimes, in those high occasions, we want to sit down with a glass of wine or good glass of a cup of coffee or tea and toast one another, to be with friends, to acknowledge all that we have that is beneficial and beautiful is a state of mind. It's in the eye of the beholder. And you and I like to think that as true Masons with a sense of ethic and purpose, imperfect as we may be, that we, in our hearts, know that we have been given a special opportunity, and it's always up to us to find the pace. There's no hand pushing it. There's no one rushing us. But there is a clamor inside of us to understand and learn and to find our nature, to understand more about it. Here, I'm going to share with you something that I think is remarkably beautiful. This is from a writer, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Some of you who are raised in liberal arts in North America might be familiar with with his work. He was a 19th century writer from Portland, Maine, and died not that long ago, I think, 1882. But he was a writer, wrote some interesting books, wrote children's books. He's right up there with some of the other John Greenleaf Whittier, or Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne. You know, these are sort of people that are associated with this level of work. He says, and I quote, "In character, in manner, in style, in all things, the supreme excellence is simplicity. Occam's razor. Simplicity. That the beautiful mathematics is to take something that is complex and help us find the simple connections. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and departing leave behind us footprints in the sands of time." And something that listeners to Masonic Effects will embrace: music is the universal language of mankind. Yeah, well, maybe I've been influenced by the likes of... Yeah, he was a little. When I came to Wordsworth Longfellow from a look at, and to a glance at Pythagorean work, the ideas, a glance, that's all. Here, the poet. This is to give you a sample of what the heart of the young man said to the psalmist. He wrote this in 1839. So newer versions of us would probably have sat down and been quite pleased with this. Here, tell me not in more, what a opening line. "Tell me not in mournful numbers. Life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. It is long, and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still, like muffled drums, are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future our pleasant, let the dead bury past its dead. Act in the living present, heart within and God o'erhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and departing leave behind us footprints in the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps other sailing or life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother seeing, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait." Not bad, not bad. Here, little Art Tatum. Thank you. It's like listening to musical filigree. I had heard a story that Art had learned to play by listening to player piano and the scrolls. And if you listen to a player piano, you know that there are flourishes that occur because of the little hole punches. When you listen to him, you can see, I think it tends to authenticate the story, but he seems to play with that filler, that connection. And I call it filigree. Sweet music. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that we are often drawn, our attention is often drawn to issues within our order, as it should be, that have to do with long-term trends and how to analyze issues and difficulties and how to stabilize our operations. And I think it's reasonable to assume that in some ways, as the population of the world increases, that there has in the back of our minds, many of us, an expectation of changes that in buffeting up against the doors of Freemasonry. And in the back of our minds, this notion of this impossible notion, this rash, reckless, impetuous notion that what we do to improve ourselves will actually have a bearing and make a difference on the world around us. With all of the chatter and chaos, recognizing the appetite for populism, you know, to block out what we don't want to hear. Yes, and our scholars and the thoughtful nature of each one of us knows that if that happens, we give up a portion, we give up a critical thinking. It's like I've decided that at my age or your age that we have all the ideas that we need, and there's no room in there in this mind for any other. So I'm going to close my mind down. We see the shallowness of that, particularly when we hear our poets and our sculptors and artists, our music, helping to pick us up, to elevate us so that we move forward. What then is the tasks that face us now? Well, first we, I think, can acknowledge and congratulate ourselves in some way for existing when the physics is that we shouldn't exist. And in different areas of the world, recognize the beauty for what it is. Perhaps you are fortunate and you're in a lodge where the arts has been refined, where there's a subtlety, a sense of the aesthetic. In other places, you may be looking at a more austere atmosphere. In others, we may go back to the days where formal lodge rooms didn't exist and we were more portable. All of those things are still with us. We can be as portable, but I would tend, for example, not to think so much about portability if I'm looking at one of the magnificent Masonic buildings of the world, these monuments to ingenuity and history. And the permanence, a statement about the permanence of the search for ideas and the right to do that. The right to step out and think rationally and develop your own thought. The acknowledgement of agency. Oh, and doing that, that is never... It's never that it can go ahead with the capturing all the recklessness that a person may decide. We have a responsibility as free thinkers. Recklessness and aggression have no place in this. This is where we leave that aside, that heavy-handedness. And we examine the subtlety of ideas. And we re-examine our own thoughts by being challenged, by opening ourselves and our ideas to being challenged. The Greeks again taught us this. When we are challenged, we can refine the ideas. Up until then, not so much. It's hard. Let me share with you a little bit about a little bit about a lot. We've been looking at symbolism, and as you look around your lodges, you think about your lodges, you can close your eyes and dream about a lodge created in the Baroque period or the Rococo, if you're fortunate. The lodges where you can hear the sounds of Strauss and the great German composers, the Beethovens and Mozarts, where it's soothing and healing. It's like kneeling down in Westminster and kneeling down and to pray and as the sun's coming up in a quiet field, or to face a storm when you're offshore and it's bleak and driving wind, and acknowledge that creation, respect it, and to be rushing to bring in the harvest because of the threat of rain. Who controls that? Fingers crossed. No time for it when you're trying to bring in the crops when you've accepted that purpose for the community. Feed us. In the background to all this is the notions of the symbols that we bring forward. And we weren't born bringing symbols forward. This has happened gradually and thoughtfully. And it's the advantage of time. There are advantages to spending more time and having more experience, but only I would say, if we are observant. Only if we're observant. If we stick our heads in the sand, what then? What then? We go about life with blinkers on. What good is time? It's the same. You can approach it every day with that same adolescent zeal. But to the background of all of that is what we've gathered as mnemonics, these compelling pictures, graphics, notions, and symbols, compelling us to be curious, to study, to ask the question, as they do of us, what do I mean? What do I mean? Well, don't be alarmed. Don't let your mind go to the distress and the complications. That's a choice. Let your mind rest on the beauty of these symbols and whether that symbol that you've passed repeatedly is now calling out to you in some way, asking you the question. And are you about to find the answer? Is your answer good enough? Is it just enough, or is it fact-based? Oh, and you know the history of Masonry. We all do. There was conjecture and turmoil, and before we had control of the narrative, yeah, I'm laughing out loud here. When did that happen? When did we control the narrative? We have had some slanderous things said about us, and it must be true because they're in pamphlets, or it must be true because it was in a published book. But, oh, some of the things just linger in the air around us. And we're a bit mockish about some of it, you know, some of the things that go on, because you have to laugh at it. Some of it is just absurd, you know. But if you're looking for a target for vitriol, if you're looking for a scapegoat, well, Masonry fits that. Oh, we've been hit, we've been taking stick for a long, long, long time. And the youthfulness wants us to push back. Why do we stand there and take it? Well, we are, in a way. We don't legitimize the critics. They do that for themselves. But honest people, people that are striving to find the truth of existence, don't really need to stoop to the lowest common denominator. People can slander us, and do, but the truth comes through not by the argument, not by rhetoric, but by our behavior. Our behavior speaks volumes. Our actions speak much louder than any one person or any group could ever hear. So I'm going to share with you some notions on geometry. And how you approach this is varied. How we approach this is varied and has been. Do you study it? Well, the stress on geometry and the finding of God as the grand geometrician in the higher of the first two degrees marks the importance of the structure of speculative masonry given to geometry by our ancient brethren. That same version of the lectures given us by Brown tells us geometry is the origin of mathematics and the foundation of architecture. Comprehending the doctrine of whatever is susceptible of increasing or diminishing. Hence, not only point, line, superfice, and solid come within our consideration, but also time, space, velocity, and magnitude in general. By the further study of this fifth science, on which Masonry is founded, we are led to contemplate in the inimitable works of the grand supreme geometrician of this vast terrestrial globe. The earliest editions of William Preston's Illustrations of Masonry were published about the same time as Hutcheson was writing. Preston included in his work a vindication of Masonry founded, Preston said, on a discourse composed by Charles Leslie and delivered by him at the consecration of the Vernon Kilwinning Lodge at Edinburgh in 1741. He includes the following, which has now been adopted almost as it was in the standard lecture in the second degree. Geometry, the first and noblest of sciences, is the basis on which the superstructure of masonry is erected. By geometry, we may curiously trace nature through her various windings to her most concealed recesses. By it, we may discover the power, the wisdom, and the goodness of the great artificer of the universe, and view with amazing delight the beautiful proportions which connect and grace this vast machine. By it, we may discover how the planets move in their various orbs and mathematically demonstrate their various revolutions. By it, we may rationally account for the return of seasons and the mixed variety of scenes which they display to the discerning eye. Numberless worlds are around us, all framed by the same divine artist, which roll through the vast expanse and are all conducted by the same unerring law of nature. How must we then approve? With what grand ideas must such knowledge fill our minds, and how worthy is it for the attention of all rational beings? A survey of nature and the observation of its beautiful proportions first deem man to imitate the divine plan and study symmetry and order. They gave rise to societies and birth to every useful art. The architect began to design, and the plans which he laid down, improved by experience and time, produced some of these excellent works which will be the admiration of future ages. Thus, from the commencement of the world, we may trace the foundation of masonry. Now think about it. How far back do the roots of masonry flow? How far back? I'll just go through that again. Thus, from the commencement of the world, we may trace the foundation of masonry. Ever since order began, and harmony displaced her charms, it has had a being. During many ages and in many different countries, it has flourished. No art, no science preceded it. In the dark periods of antiquity, when literature was in a low state and the rude manners of our forefathers withheld from them the knowledge we now so amply share, masonry began to diffuse her influence. The mysteries of this science unveiled, arts instantly arose, civilization took place, and the progress of nature, knowledge, and philosophy gradually dispelled the gloom of ignorance and barbarism. Government being settled, authority was given to laws, and the assemblies of the fraternity acquired the patronage of the great and the good, while the tenets of the profession were attended with general and unbounded utility. That's all we'll do today. The next, we'll get into one of my personal favorites, the Mason I most want to continue arguing with, to debate or discuss. I would like to share a glass of sherry with this man after a dinner, or a glass of port, and a pipe. William Leslie Wilmshurst. Let's share. They want to save that. I want to save it. This is like holding the glass of Merlot up to the light, or the whiskey up to the candle, and just turning it in your hand, or to look over into the coffee in front of you, and savor it. We'll come back to William Leslie Wilmshurst. Holy mackerel, look at this. 30th of September, eh? Symbols. What do they say to us? So when you look at that symbol that in your lodge, you see the symbols of geometry and the thinking of it. It's on our, it's a lot, there's a fair amount. And you may be seeing the geometry of, think about the discovered geometry. It's not just Euclidean. You know? Remember, there's a geometry to the clouds and to the waves crashing on the shore, to leaves. Remember. We can break down the artwork, can't we? We can look at it molecularly, and then we can say, what in the world was Van Gogh, what inspired him to use that palette? Remember, there was quite a pushback. And of course, just because I think each one of you in your earlier form, back in antiquity, was a bit of a rebel, was a bit of a dilettante, to push back. No, there's no place for impressionists. No. That's not real art. No, there's no place for that kind of music. That's rap. That's not real music. No, that's offensive to our sensibility. Ha. Do we listen? Do we even bother to entertain it and see it for what it is? No. That opera, that's just wailing away. I'm not familiar with that. I just don't like it. Even when I tell you or say to you that opera was the first rock concerts, the first gathering of large numbers of people and to experience music all together, you know that symmetry when you look around and it's there and you feel that synergy, don't you? And how is it able to capture our emotions? Every performance, a good performance, with voice, with orchestra, with the actors on stage. So we have to wrap this up again. I'm always feeling a bit reluctant when this moment in the program happens. Yes, I am working on guest speakers for the show. Yes. And yes, I'm having difficulty with it because it's fluid. Yes. And because I chatter away and I listen and then I walk away and start to digest what I've heard. Yes, I have ideas, but some of them are taking a little longer than I imagined. So I beg your patience. And to the listeners, South Korea, how are you? Listeners from Russia, thank you. Your numbers are over, your proportion of the overall listening audience is wonderful. Thank you very much for acknowledging us. India, we need to understand the culture that you have to offer to the world. If China will be willing to continue to share wisdom with us, we will have so much to learn as Masons. And don't forget Cameroon and Uganda and your thinking. Brazil, what is going on? You know, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And the heart, if you listen to UK, if you listen to Scotland or England and Ireland, you can hear the heart of masonry beating very strongly, or the Germanic principalities or the Italian principalities, you can hear the pulse, you can feel the pulse of masonry. In Austria, when you tune in, I hope we offer and stimulate and connect in some ways. And Belgium, well, so much of a voice. Something profound going on around us. Canada, we are so young. We have so much to learn from the mentors around us, from France, from the United States even. I say that even. You know, the sun seems to be setting on so much about the United States, and it's unpleasant to witness. I don't wish it, just unpleasant to witness. And yet there are good masons there. Masonry is there. It's everywhere in the where humanity is able to express their thoughts to themselves and to one another. And I'm pleased to acknowledge the growth of women in masonry, different orders. The world around us does not distinguish between regular and irregular. We do that internally. So as homage, as acknowledgement, where it's like saying, where's the most beautiful sunrise? Where you are. Anyway, I'm bound to cut myself off here. Akvamarian, some of you may have heard of him. Beautiful. This is his version of Round Midnight. Thank you very much for tuning in today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I like to think that when you relax and you are thinking about the workings of the business of the lodge, and you know somewhere that there's far more of masonry than we reveal to one another in ritual. Well, I like to think that we play a small part in that, serving that need for you here. I look forward to having you back next time. In the meantime, I'm going to be having a birthday. Man, am I getting old. Man. Oh, the knees make me feel that way, but not the heart. Cheers. Commit those acts of random Masonic kindness. Make us proud, eh? Check this out. Thank you.
Conroy, Last Midnight.